Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Matthew with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through Matthew chapter 24, starting in verse 9, ending in verse 14, where we see that Jesus loves sinners. And if we are to be emulating and reflecting Jesus properly, we are to love them too. More on that now. Let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Matthew chapter 24, verse 9, with a message entitled, The Everlasting Gospel.
It really is astounding. You know what he does? One last call. I say last call, some of you think of the bars. I say last call, some of you think of kitchens that are getting ready to close. Last call, the chef will say, the bartender will say, and you know that I got to get that order, and right now if I want more to drink or more to eat, God is going to do that in the tribulation. The heavens are going to open. An angel is going to be flying through the heavens, through the atmosphere, declaring to every tongue, every tribe, every people, the gospel of Jesus Christ, pleading with them to turn to him, pleading with them to receive and believe before his judgment is completely poured out. What a gracious God. It's also fourth and finally, that which Paul calls my gospel. He calls it that in Romans 2:16. This is the gospel of the grace of God in its fullest development. But it includes the revelation of the result of that gospel and the outcalling of the church, her relationships, her position, her privileges, and responsibility. It is the distinctive truth of the Ephesians epistle and the Colossians epistle. Both interpenetrates all of Paul's writings. But listen here. This is the warning, and this is where we'll sort of segue into the closing points. There's another gospel. There's another gospel that opposes that fourfold gospel. We're warned of it in Galatians 1:6, 2 Corinthians 11:4, which isn't another gospel, but a perversion of the gospel of the grace of God against which we are warned. It has had many seductive forms, but the test is one. It invariably denies the sufficiency of grace alone to save. It's by grace alone, through faith alone, and Jesus Christ alone. And there's an opposing gospel to that that has always been on the scene. It's another gospel. And it denies his ability to save, to keep, to perfect, and it mingles with grace, some kind of human merit. In Galatia, it was the law. In Colossae, it was fanaticism. But in any form, its teachers lie under the awful anathema of God, according to Galatians 1:8. What you and I need to understand is this: God hasn't abandoned the world. For all of its wickedness, the world's still the scene in which God's, you got to hear this. Y'all got to hear this because the church isn't doing this. Listen to me, please. Somehow we've forgotten this. Somehow we've lost this. Listen to these points here. They're solid. Please listen. God has not abandoned the world. For all of its wickedness, the world's still the scene in which God's purpose is being worked out. It's not abandonment that God is contemplating. It's intervention. Please understand that God's not considering abandoning the world. You want to know when I'm going to come? You want to know the end of the age? This is going to happen. This is going to happen. It's going to get uglier and worse. And eventually I'm going to throw my hands there and say, oh, I can't see it anymore. I can't look at it anymore. No, no, no. God's not doing that. God is saying this. I'm going to intervene on this because of love. It's not an abandoned world. Even a very crescendo of evil must not discourage us. An essential part of the Jewish picture of the day of the Lord that we just read through, a complete breakdown of all moral standards and apparent of disintegration of the world must precede it. But for all that, this isn't a prelude to destruction. It's a prelude to recreation. You're missing it if you're here today thinking, man, God is harsh. God is full of judgment and wrath. No, God is love. God is mercy. He's pleading with man everywhere since man's conception to the closure of human history to turn and to receive him. Both judgment and new creation are certain that God contemplates the world both in justice and mercy. and that God's plan is not the obliteration of the world, but the creation of a world which is nearer to his heart's desire. Now let's close with just street talk. Let's just break this thing down and make this as simple as we can. What are you supposed to leave here with today? What are you supposed to do with this message? Listen to me, please. Here's what you're supposed to understand. I'm going to speak as simply as I possibly can. Here's what you need to leave here with today. Here's what you got to know about God, the God of the Bible that preached this message. Jesus loves sinners. He always has, and he always will. That will never, ever change. I don't know where the church has lost that. I don't know how the church has lost that, where we're disappointed and we're displeased with sinners for sinning, but Jesus loves sinners. Jesus loves sinners. And you and I, if we are to reflect Jesus Christ rightly and properly, we are to love them too. Let me let you in on a little just secret or reminder maybe for some of you. All we are sinners. Somehow the church elevates herself in her mind, in her thinking, at least by actions it seems that way, where we seem to think that after Jesus saves us, we're something different than sinners saved by grace. Somehow or another, we get it twisted, we get it warped, we get this egomaniac type mentality where we think that we are above other people that we work with, that we go to school with, that we live next door to. Let me tell you something, please. We are nothing special. We are nothing exquisite. We are nothing wonderfully fabulous and unique apart from Jesus Christ. All we are beggars telling other beggars where to get the bread. That's all that we are. Let us never lose sight of that. Let me say it even more base and simply. Let's be real. Let's keep it real, right? When we're talking to our friends, that's what we'll say so many times. Let me be real with you. Let's keep it real, right? We got that type of a relationship. Let's keep it real. Let's be truthful here. Let's be truthful, church. All you and I are, if we are in Christ today, are sinners filled with the Holy Ghost that are being changed day by day, patiently by Almighty God. There should be way more amens going on right now. There should be way more I agree going on. Not because what I'm saying is so solid, because what I'm saying is truth. And somehow or another, I think that we think that we're something different. I was talking to the guys this morning, as I often do before I preach. I either pray it or I say it to the group of guys that I meet with before services. And I often exclaim, I can't believe that I'm the guy that gets up here and gets behind the pulpit. I know that there's in me no good thing. It's still mysterious to me. It's still mind-boggling, mind-blowing to me that Jesus saved me, that Jesus plucked me from the world, that he translated me out of the kingdom of darkness and into his marvelous light. I wasn't doing anything that earned that type of affection and attention from him. I wasn't doing anything that made me qualified. I wasn't doing anything that was head-turning. In fact, if I was doing anything that was head-turning, it wasn't for the right reasons, it was for the wrong reasons. And by the grace of God, by the grace of God, he saved me. By the grace of God, he allowed his word to make sense to me. He allowed a light to go on for something to click. Why me and not other people that are still out there? I have no answer for. I don't think on those things. I rejoice over them. And then it infuses me to be passionate about what he has done, to give it out to as many people as possible. Some of you need to be reminded this morning of what Jesus has saved you from. Some of you, if I can be real with you, have grown cold. You are fulfilling prophecy. Sin abounds all around you. And I'm not downing anybody. I'm not dissing anybody. I'm not speaking condescendingly to anybody. I'm speaking truthfully and frankly with you. Some of you, rightly so, have allowed the world around you, the sin around you, to wear on you, to drain you, to exhaust you, and you've sort of lost that fervency. You've lost that passion. Listen, what you need to do is return to your first love. What you need to do is have a refresher. You know how you refresh your computer? You need to refresh your mind right now and remind yourself of who you were before Jesus Christ stepped into your life. Remind yourself of what you were doing before Jesus Christ invaded that day, and go back to that and give him thanks for it, and let him stir your heart so that you become burdened for other people to have the same experience that you have had. If there were two words that we had to summarize what the culture needs today, if there were two words that we had to say, this is the need for the culture, the generation, our children, our parents, our classmates, folks that we work with, our neighborhood, if there were two words that we had to summarize what the general population needed today, it would be these two words in my estimation: hope and peace. The world needs hope and the world needs peace. They're looking for it everywhere and they can't find it anywhere. There's only one person that offers to us hope and peace, and it's Jesus Christ. We know him. We have hope in Jesus. We have a future. We have a hope. We have a certainty of what's gonna happen in our future, of where we're going, of where we're headed. We have perspective of where we've come from, why we're here. We've got a hope and we've got a peace. We've got a peace because we have access to God. We've got a peace because we know the creator of the heavens and the earth. You just sang it to him. It's easier to sing, though, than to believe sometimes. You've got God Almighty, access to him because of Jesus Christ and that wall that he has broken down by his blood, and because of the peace of God and the peace with God that you have. It surpasses all understanding. The world is so desperate for peace. Everybody's getting high. Everybody is drinking. The church is drinking. The church is getting high. The problem with drinking, the problem with getting high, is that the high don't last and the drunkenness don't last. Sobriety eventually will come, and you'll come down from that high and you're right back where you were before it. I'm not downing that. I'm just being real with it. It doesn't last. It doesn't endure. Jesus Christ and his gospel endures. And it's a gospel of hope and peace. We are to give it out to as many people as possible until Jesus calls us home. I'm going to leave you with that this morning. Jesus said that we are to occupy till he comes, that we're to be busy about his business. We're living in America. We're living in a land of opportunity, man, where anybody could be anything. Anyone could do anything. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just the truth. And in that pursuit of the American dream and that pursuit of having that home and having that family and having those possessions and having everything else, sometimes we forget that we're not going to be here very long. And we need a reminder. That's my job. Someone's got to blow the whistle and call a team huddle. That's my job. And that's what we're doing here this morning. We need to remind ourselves, keep a light touch. We need to remind ourselves that we're not building our kingdom here on earth. We're seeking to build his kingdom. We're seeking to establish his kingdom for his glory and his honor, not our own. And we need to be willing and be faithful to use whatever platform, whatever venue God has given to us by way of occupation or what we do with our daily lives to bring people to Jesus. To bring people to Jesus. If you're a plumber here today, you're not a plumber. If you're a carpenter here today, you're not just a carpenter. If you're a school teacher here today, you're not just a school teacher. An engineer, you're not just an engineer. A businessman or woman, you're not just a businessman or a woman. You are a heralder of these things. That is your venue and your platform to be used to express these things to people that pastors can't reach. But you're a heralder. You're a gospel giver. The everlasting gospel. You want to be like Jesus. You want to be pleasing to Jesus. This is his heart. He says, church, here's what's going to happen. Is going to get really, really messy before I come again. But even in the midst of the mess, the message will go forth. Get in the game. Do it now. Do it in your generation. Do what is the heart of the Lord till he calls you home. How do we do it? Daniel and the team's going to come. They're going to close this out. We're going to sing a song. What is this? Is this it? Is that all we do? I just preach my heart out and that's it. I stir you the best I can in and of my own strength and ingenuity. And then that's it. You go. Because the minute you walk out of those doors, you're going to get bombarded. What kind of acai bowl should I try? The one with the peanut butter or the one without the peanut butter? What kind of bagels are left? Did all the first service people eat the bagels? Your kid's going to call you. There's going to be some type of drama if you got daughters. There's going to be something going on over here. Your phone's going to ring, Instagram alerts, Facebook alerts. Everything's going to bombard you. You're going to go out there. You're going to see the sunshine, the blue skies, the birds chirping, man. It's a beautiful day. You're going to go home, maybe mow the lawn, vacuum your pool, have a picnic, go out to lunch, go to the mall, go to Wegmans, get groceries for the week. You're going to lose it. What do you do so you don't lose it? What do I do so I don't lose it? How do we keep it? How do we have Jesus stir our hearts so that this is everlasting, so that this is a thing of endurance, so that we keep going, so that we take what we have received and we redistribute it? We're all supposed to be redistributors. We're not to hoard this thing. We're to give it out. How do we do it? Here's how. When you get saved, you have God. The Bible says that He indwells you. He seals you with the Spirit to the day of redemption. He stays with you forevermore. He teaches you. He convicts you. He stirs you. He does all of these things for you. You have God. But there's a second experience that is subsequential to the salvation, and it's this. It's where no longer do you just have God, but God has you. It's where, you know, when you get saved and you have God, it's about you. God saved me. I'm going to go to heaven. God's giving me gifts. God's called me to do this in the church. Me. Right, I get it. That's wonderful and it's awesome. But there's something deeper. It might be the most passionate thing that I am about the Christian faith. And that's where when God takes a hold of you by you saying, take a hold of me. It's where He opens your eyes. It's like to another dimension. And it's to the people that are all around you that are hurting, that are broken, that are lost, that are weary. And what it does is it does this. Please listen to me. This is what it does. It takes you from being just a person that's going to go to heaven one day when you die and you do some good things in the church, but you're pretty much about you and your family and the things that concern you. It takes you from just being that, and it opens up your eyes to a new horizon, and it makes you burdened for people. It makes it where, so when you're pumping gas and you see that guy or that girl next to you at the other pump weeping, you can't just turn your eye and say, well, I hope they have a good day. I got to get to church. You got to do something now. You got to say something. You got to offer your prayers. You got to extend an invite to the church that you're going to. Now when you find out your neighbor has cancer, it's not just a shell, I'll be praying for you. It's I'm going to do things for you to bless you in the midst of your greatest mess. I got a message to tell you. And in the midst of your greatest mess, I'm going to tell you about it through my actions and eventually my words. And so now when one of your friends that is dearest to you or family members that is closest to you goes down in sin, you don't just say, well, I hope you figure it out. But you get down in the dumps with them. And you wash their wounds. And you give them a tissue for their eyes because you love them. Now when your coworker at work is telling you that their wife ran out on them or their husband is cheating on them or their children are hooked on heroin. Now it's not just I'll be praying for you. I hope that thing works itself out. Well wishes. You're in my thoughts. What does it even, you're in my thoughts. What does that do? Me being in your thoughts. How does that help me? Now it's this. Let me tell you about a God of hope and a God of peace. I'll be honest with you because I'm going to call you to respond in a second. I'll be honest with you, your life will be a lot more busy. So did you say, God, I don't want to just have you, I want you to have me. It's not something that you can do in and of your own strength. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by His Spirit. It's otherworldly. You'll need some divine intervention, some divine help and aid and strength. But it is the most rewarding, blessed life when the Lord has full control of you. So if you're here today and you say, that's what I need, because I care right now, but I know when I go out there, I'm not going to care anymore. I just don't have that oomph in my faith. I don't have that give a care in my faith. I just sort of lose it when I leave here. Listen, that doesn't mean you're a bad Christian. That doesn't mean you're backslidden and you're not saved. It means this, you're a human being walking through a really draining, dreary, weary world. And the Bible says that you're to be filled with the Spirit of God, but it says it in a way where we lose it in English. It says this, be being filled with the Spirit of God. Like it's a constant, perpetual thing because we're leaky. I'm going to ask you right now, if you're here today and you say, I need that. I need God to have all of me. I got God, but I need God to have all of me. I'm going to ask you to stand so I can pray for you. Don't wait to see who does what. You just, if I'm talking to you, you just stand at your seat. If I'm not, ignore me. If I am, please stand. You just need God to get a hold of you again. You've been bit by his gospel today. You just stand. We can't fall asleep, church. The whistle hasn't been blown yet. We got to keep playing. We got to keep running. We got to keep going. It's not over yet. I get that we're tired. My sister and I were texting last week after service, and she said, she was encouraging me, and she said, you know, sometimes I don't think you understand because you're just constantly in the game, and maybe you get tired. She goes, but it's blessing, and then she was telling me who it's blessing and why it's blessing them. But she said, you got to know that, because when you're in the game, you're winded. When you're in the game, you get cramps. When you're in the game, you get hurt. You got to keep going. You got to keep trucking till the ref blows the whistle. And even if you think you heard the whistle, let them stop you. You know what I'm saying? Let them stop you. You don't stop till everyone's yelling at you, it's over. The game's over. Stop. You keep going. Some of you got to hear that today. You got to keep going. You got to keep pressing. You got to keep running the race to win. There's a crown that's waiting for you. All those who love the Lord is appearing and endure and finish to the end. There's a reward. You're going to behold him. You're going to see him. And you're going to have no regrets when you stand before his face. Jesus, please strengthen your bride. As they stand before you, God, as I stand before you, we are leaky and we are needy. And we pray that you would fill our cups to overflowing. That you would refresh the joy of our salvation in our lives. That you would stir us. That you would move us. That you would encourage us. That you would excite us. That you'd make us others minded, others concerned. That we can no longer just turn our heads, Lord. That we can no longer just refrain our words because we care what they'll think of us. But that their salvation secured would be esteemed, Lord, above their perception or what we think their perception will be of us. That every platform, every venue, every place that we find ourselves would be an opportunity, Lord, in our estimation to give out your good news. We pray for this world. Jesus, this world needs you. Thank you that your heart is to extend the invitation of the gospel to them. Burden us, we pray. In Jesus' name.
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let blood and water hit the ground.